It's story time, brought to you by locumstory.com. Today we'll be reading One Job, Two Job. One Job, Two Jobs. Red Blob, No Job. Elective Doc, Emergency Doc. Some in overstock, some in out of stock. The doc is too abused, the doc is underused. This doc can't get sick. Say, let's try a brand new trick. For all the docs about to cry, here's an idea you can try. Look into a locum tenens assignment. A really great option, you might find it. Don't forget locums pays much better, and you can find assignments in any type of weather. With all of this new info trapped up in your thinker, go to financialresidency.com/locumstory and use your mouse to tinker. It's here you'll find the unbiased answers you are after, so you can decide if locum tenens is your next chapter.
Welcome to the Talk to Me Doc podcast, where it's all about serving the early career physician. Let's talk about the unique issues that face us so we can create a better future for ourselves and those to come. And now your host, Dr. Andrew Tisser.
Hey everybody, it's Andrew and welcome back to the Talk to Me Doc podcast. I'm so happy you're here. For my returning listeners, welcome back and thank you. For my new listeners, you're in the right place because today, like on every episode, we're talking to the best guests from all around healthcare and beyond to discuss issues relating to the early career physician. Today, we have a recap of my podcast episode that I shared with Heather Fork. Dr. Heather Fork is an ICF Master Certified Coach who helps physicians find their best career path forward, whether in medicine, a non-clinical career, or something else. In 2010, she found the Doctor's Crossing, and since that time, has worked with hundreds of physicians to find greater career fulfillment and meaning in their work. She hosts the weekly Doctor's Crossing Carpe Diem podcast and is passionate about creating resources to make it easier for physicians to navigate their careers. So, let's get into the show.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Doctor's Crossing Carpe Diem podcast. You're listening to episode number 36. Whenever I talk with a new client, I'm always eager to hear their story. I want to understand what made them decide to go into medicine. I'm curious about how medical school and residency were, and what's going on currently that made them reach out for help. One of the things I'm listening for is there a specific time when they felt medicine wasn't a good fit for them? Sometimes it's clear that early on there was quote unquote trouble in paradise, that even during medical school there were doubts. Question marks can come up or continue in residency as well. It's also not uncommon for the transition to being an attending to bring up some serious concerns when that full rate of patient responsibility is felt. If you're questioning your career early on, how do you deal with it? We're often told, it'll get better, just hang on. And sometimes it does, but not for everyone. There's a lot of pressure to keep going for various reasons, both internal and external. And it can be scary and lonely to be feeling different than your peers and wondering if you made a big mistake. Today, I have a great guest, Dr. Andrew Tisser, to dive into this topic with me and give you a lot of support and practical advice for addressing exactly this situation. Woohoo! Dr. Tisser had serious doubts about his career choice in his second year of medical school. He already had significant student loan debt and felt he didn't have a choice except to go on. People kept telling him, it will get better. I'm going to let him share the details of his story that eventually led to his work as an emergency medicine physician and career strategist for early career physicians. In addition to his work as a physician and coach, he hosts the great podcast, Talk to Me Doc. I will link to his website, andrewtisserdo.com, and the ways you can connect with him in the show notes for this episode. It's my true pleasure to welcome Dr. Andrew Tisser to the podcast. Hey, Andrew, it's great to see you. Great to meet you.
Hey, Heather, great to meet you as well. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this because I haven't specifically addressed, you know, medical students and residents who are having questions. And when I heard your podcast, I thought, gotta have Andrew on. And would you like to begin by telling us your own story and how you found your way to where you are right now?
Sure. Thank you. Well, I think, like any story, there's lots of bumps and bruises along the way. But, you know, I grew up quite humbly in New York City, no physicians in my family. And, you know, I went went to college and did the, I actually started in college, which I don't think you know about, but I decided early on that medicine seemed like a good career because I was pretty good at science and it was interesting and, you know, it seemed to be pretty well respected and they always have stable careers. So I was, I worked as an EMT in college and a volunteer firefighter, and I decided I wanted to be a physician. So I started down the pre-med path, and then I went to see career advisor people, you know, in college, probably my junior year, I think like somewhere in my junior year. And I was like, I don't know about this medicine thing. Like this seems, I don't know if this is for me after shadowing some people. And then they're like, well, what else are you going to do? And I said, well, I don't know. That's why I'm here to see you, you know? And they're like, well, it's just pretty hard right now, but like, it's definitely going to be worth it. So you should just continue down that career path. So I was like, you know, 19, 20 years old. I'm like, okay, sure. So I did that. So I got into medical school, and then I did my first year of medical school, and it was a pretty lonely time, honestly. And I didn't feel like very relatable to my colleagues, and that's a different conversation for a different day, but you know, that was fine. And then I got into the second year and I was like, I really don't like this. Like, you know, the material was fine. I'm not here to brag, but I didn't have trouble in medical school. The medicine came easy, but I found it quite boring. And then when we started doing, you know, we had shadowing opportunities and things like that when we were early in medical school. And I was like, all these people are miserable. Like, I don't know that I want to do this. But at that point, I was like $100,000 in debt or whatever it was, something absurd. And I was like, well, I got to do this. You know, like, I got like $6 in my bank account. There's nothing I could do. So that's where it started, really.
It is hard when you're feeling different than your peers. I definitely hear that a lot, and it is lonely. What do you think was making you feel different?
It's probably multifactorial. You know, I had really, really good friends in college. Like I had, and they were all, I don't know, I want to say like me, like we grew up similarly, you know, everyone, everyone was fairly intelligent, but everyone was like, grew up pretty either like low income or very like moderate income. No one had any like real high-end professionals in the family. And I just like had a great group of friends, and they're still my friends to this day. And then I grew up in New York City, and I wanted nothing else but to leave New York City. And then the only medical school I got into was on Long Island. So I get torn back to somewhere where I really don't have any friends. I had like some couple childhood friends, and I just like my roommate was an interesting guy. He was like a ex-lawyer that decided to become a doctor. I don't know. He was a fun guy. But anyways, yeah, and I just didn't make a lot of friends. Like I didn't find I didn't feel relatable to a lot of people. A lot of people come from like multi-generational physician households. Obviously not everyone. I met my wife who my first year of medical school, and she was a good friend of mine before we started dating. But I just I felt like everyone was like so excited to be there, and I was just like,
Right. You didn't find your tribe, though. That can be lonely for sure. You didn't identify with the other people. We're going to be coming back and looking at this situation when you're not sure in medical school, but let's continue with your story. What happened after you had these doubts?
Well, I just kept going, right? I mean, what else am I going to do? So I got to third year in medical school, and I was like, all right, I got to find a field that like I don't hate. You know, that's like, ideally, I got to find something that doesn't suck, right? So, but I tried to go with an open mind. Obviously, I had experience in emergency services because of my EMS and fire. But I was like, you know, I know what that's like. Let me try to find something else. And like, I couldn't. I just I hated everything. You know, like I like surgery, like I couldn't deal with the OR. I just couldn't deal with the OR, and that eliminated like a lot of specialties for me. And like, I like pediatrics, but I liked them when the kids were like healthy and fun, but I didn't like sick children, kids. You know? And you know, like the big specialties I went through, I ended up actually really liking anesthesia, but that was late in my fourth year and I had already made my decision. But so I was like, and then I got to emergency medicine. I was like, well, this is like an old hat, right? this is what I know, what I've always known. Schedule's not too terrible, which is, you know, a footnote, but that's what I thought at the time. You know, I got a lot of time off. So that should be, you know, they make pretty good money. You got some time off. You don't bring your work home with you, which is also a misconception. But so I, by process of elimination, I said, this is probably the least egregious career. And you know, I want to interrupt. And I wasn't like a really downer, like depressed all the time. I was just trying to make really practical decisions based on where I was at. You know, I thought that if I didn't have to be in the hospital that often, if I made a fairly good income, then I could try to find other things that I like down the road. And everyone was like, oh, wait, you know, like once you get to third year, it'll get better. And then it was like, oh, wait till you get to residency. And then you like, you're really a doctor, you know, it'll be hard, but it'll be better, which is kind of a theme throughout this. But so, yeah, so I decided to go into emergency medicine. And I matched into emergency medicine. My wife was my fiance at the time, but she did internal medicine and we matched about 2 hours apart, which was not great. And then I started residency and I was very unhappy. So, which continued. And, you know, I was like, well, I'm here to learn. Like, once I get, you know, good at this, then I'll probably like it more. And again, and not as a humble brag or anything, but I was very good at it. I was very good at emergency medicine and it was so boring. It was just so boring. Like this is like one of the most exciting specialties, right? Like the joke is we're the most interesting 15 minutes of every other specialty. Right? So like you know, well, life and death and traumas and cracking chests and chest tubes and all this stuff. And it was just so boring. And I talked to my mentors and they were just like, oh, well, you're a resident. Of course it sucks, right? Once you're out there as an attending and you're on the show and you're making the big bucks and this and that, then it's like so much better. Like, don't worry. Like it's just residency. So I had that, you know, to cling to. And also again, like the distance from my wife and I like did a lot of driving and, you know, so there was a lot of confounding factors. And I said, okay, that's reasonable. And then I got done with residency and I got out and what I decided to do is take a whole bunch of locums and part-time jobs to see like what kind of practice environment I'd like to work in. And we were living in Chicago for 2 years because my wife was doing a fellowship. And I worked at little tiny hospitals and huge hospitals and teaching hospitals and non-teaching hospitals. And I worked everywhere, right? Any kind of practice environment, inner city, suburbs, everything. And it was all just so boring, right? It was just a fast track to burnout, right? I mean, I was working a lot. I was working probably 140, 150 hours a month. And I was making really good money, but I just like, it was some of these places I had to see 3-4 patients an hour, which is not sustainable either. And again, I was very good at it. And I had like, you know, people liked me, the patients liked me, I had good medical care, like I was good at the job, but I had no fulfillment from it.
I just want to interrupt you here.
Yeah, please do.
Because I listened to your podcast this morning where you're talking about how when you would see patients, you would go and sit on the garbage can in the room. And that made them really feel like you were there to listen to them. And you said, well, I was just doing it because I was tired, but it gave me really high patient satisfaction scores.
So that's true.
That was a neat story.
Yeah, I actually got an award in residency for patient satisfaction. And I was like, I'm just tired. Yeah,
I'm just sitting on the garbage can. You should try it. You want to boost your scores up? Try the
sit on the garbage cans. And it'll just be better for your whole day because you get some rest, you know? Mm-hmm.
So here you are, you've tried all these different settings, you're bored to tears, and it seems so paradoxical because what do they make those TV shows out of? ER physicians, because it's exciting, there's a lot of drama. One thing I'm curious about is, why do you think you were so bored?
You know, I've thought about this a lot, and I still think about it a lot, and I think a lot of what we do, and not to dumb down the field because emergency medicine is a very complex field, but like we're not treating emergencies a lot of the time, right? Like a lot of the time we're dealing with a lot of like social issues and primary care issues. And you know, the really sick patient, that's a really, really sick patient is interesting to me. I find that interesting and I like taking care of those patients, but it's not hard per se. Like this, it's intellectually stimulating at the time, but it's still a lot of like, if then that, right? So I hate trauma. I very much dislike trauma because there it's a do not pass go, right? You know, fix the A, fix the B, fix the C, et cetera, and then get them to surgery, right? There's very little thought when it comes to emergency trauma. And so like complex medical cases were somewhat interesting to me, but again, they weren't like challenging. I didn't get the like adrenaline rush. I've never gotten an adrenaline rush from emergency medicine. Not that I'm seeking it. I've never been an adrenaline junkie, unlike many in my field, but like, it's just, okay, well then I do this next thing. Right. And again, it's sometimes a very complex management, but it's just, I just didn't find it interesting, you know? And like, I've thought about this quite a bit, you know, over the years, like, and why, I don't know. I still don't know why it's so like routine for me. And I feel like bad saying some of this stuff because it's like, I'm not discounting the field at all. And it is very complex. I personally don't find it stimulating or interesting.
That's something I see with a lot of physicians that we don't want to admit is that medical care can get very routine and it can also be boring, albeit stressful. And often there's this, it becomes like Groundhog's Day. Or it can also be like, it sounds like to some degree in your case that there's a bit of a mismatch between how you're using your skills and how you want to connect with people and how you want to engage that's not really working for you.
And I never really felt like I was helping people, you know, which is weird, right? Because clearly I am, right? But I just never felt like I was doing any good for people. And I truly, you know, the like, oh, I'm here, I do this to help people. I truly want to help people. I love helping people. But in my day-to-day emergency medicine job, I never felt like I was helping people.
Well, you're not the first person I've heard say that before. Yeah. Would you like to catch us up to the present and what you're doing now? And then we'll go back and look at these different phases.
Absolutely. So, again, I was quite burnt out as an attending. I started just like going online, like people do, like in searching for like, what can I do that isn't medicine? You know, and you get like the same three responses. It's like utilization management, pharma, or medical writing, right? And that's none of that appeal
right,
to me.
Right, the top so. Big three.
So, you know, I started looking around. I started talking to some of my mentors. I had a coach of my own. And we started helping me craft a career that I would be happy with. We moved back to Buffalo, New York. And then I kind of went for it and made some of those things happen. I have interest in administrative work, as well as I started my business with career strategy and my podcast, and was able to cut down a bit clinically at work. So at the present time, I do a lot of other things, which all the other things make me much happier with my clinical practice.
So you stuck with it. You didn't leave in medical school. You didn't leave in residency. You didn't leave when you were finding emergency medicine boring. And you found a way to diversify what you're doing and make it work for you.
Yes.
Let's go to medical school and imagine we have a hypothetical medical student, we can also reference your experience. If they start questioning at that stage, what are some things they can do to start to address these doubts?
Sure. I mean, I think it's really important to separate just the day-to-day burnout and like stress from truly questioning this as a path. Because right, there's a lot of people, if you get down and you have a conversation with, that say, you know what, no, it's just really hard right now. And not that, oh yeah, it'll get better, that's your solution. But for some people, it's just the day-to-day stress and they wouldn't want to do anything else. I think the most important thing always comes down to like what matters to you and what your values are in life. And they change over time. But I think doing some exercise and figuring out what's important to you will help you decide whether or not staying or going is the correct path, right? And I never want anyone to just like stay in a career because they should, or they don't know what else to do. Like that's not a good reason to stay unhappy. So I think it starts with some inner work, some soul searching as to what you like, what matters to you, and whether or not any kind of medical career is aligned with those values. Because if you're misaligned with your values, you'll always be miserable no matter what you do.
Yeah, that's a really good point because it is a very individual choice and everybody has a different way of solving this problem. One of the things that I hear from medical students who are probably not on the right path is they will say, you know, when we get to the ward and we start seeing patients, after we do rounds, my peers want to go talk to Mrs. Jones, or, you know, they want to go see that patient again and follow up with them. And they will tell me, I do not want to do that. It's just the last thing on my mind. And they feel it and it makes them feel really bad and they don't even want to admit that. But that's actually helpful information. It may mean that that is not a relationship that works for you for whatever reason.
Yes, agreed. I mean, I certainly felt that way. You know, I wanted to be out of there as soon as I could. And so I just want to make a quick point about mental health, as some of this dissatisfaction and disinterest and apathy really comes from true depression. And it's important to prioritize yourself and your own mental health all the way through. And I think every professional should see a therapist personally. But that's just one point I want to make, because it might not be that you're not interested in this as a career, it might just be that you're depressed. And that's an important distinction to make.
I'm glad you brought that up, because when I talk to medical students who are having these challenges and doubts, they often do have some depression and anxiety. And it could be the chicken or the egg, but it's important to figure out what it is. I've seen students take time off. Sometimes that's helpful to reevaluate whether they want to continue. But one thing I think to be careful of is I've seen the student's health get very compromised by continuing. And that's either in medical school or residency, where it's creating dis-ease and it's really not good for them. Their family or others may be telling them, you know, you really should just finish. You really just go ahead, you know, get your certification. But it's going to do a lot of damage. And that's something that to be very, very mindful of, that it's not just a matter of pushing on for some people. It's actually the worst decision they can make.
Right. Is why we see so much like suicide and stuff as well, unfortunately. But I think so much of it's like, what would my family think, et cetera, you know, is really troublesome, like sunk cost fallacy and all kinds of things we could talk about. But honestly, it's, you have to make the decision for you, because this is not a, oh, I'll just make, you know, this isn't a, what am I having for lunch? This is the rest of your career. So I think you need to do a lot of soul searching there, but I think you're never wrong to leave. You're never wrong to leave in medical school. You're never wrong to leave as a resident. You're not wrong to leave as an attending, early, mid, or late career. You're never wrong, but sticking in a situation, sticking it out for it'll get better, it's not the right decision. And sometimes it's just restructuring, right? Which is what I did. I was able to buy down time doing other things. And some of the people I've worked with do the same. They don't leave necessarily, but it's an important point to talk about, that we have this shame and we feel this like terrible like pressure on us that, oh, well, I went through college and I did all this stuff and now I'm in medical school and I hate it and I want to leave. And it's just not, you know, continuing down a path where you may be, where you may develop depression, anxiety because of your dissatisfaction with your career as well, is just not correct either. So I think it's important to have these conversations and to talk to people about these things, because I didn't tell anybody about it.
Yeah, it really is helpful to get some outside input, but also still be able to ultimately make the decision yourself. So another common question that comes up is, you make it through medical school, should I just do some residency? Because then I might be able to have a license and I could have a better earning income potential while I'm figuring out plan B. Or maybe should I at least get through residency so I can say I finished, have certification, and have something to get a salary from while I am doing plan B?
Well, I mean, I don't think there's a right answer to that either, right? I mean, I think there's certainly, my roommate I told you about earlier, he did 1 year of residency and never worked as a doctor again. And all he does is full-time expert witness work, right? But, you know, I think leaving residency is a very difficult decision and you will never get good advice. I think if you talk to your attendings, everyone will tell you to just stick it out no matter what. And that might not be the best move for you. I think, you know, doing a year, like, You know, that's a difficult decision. Should I stay a year so I can get a license? I don't know. You know, maybe you should. Should you stick it out? If you really hate it, and it's not just the individual residency, right? So sometimes people are just at a really terrible residency where people are really mean and horrible. And that's a big contributor. I think it's important to talk to others in the field. So let's say that you're a gynecologist and you're in a very malignant program. You can reach out to your community gynecologist or reach out to people online and say, hey, this is what I'm feeling. What does your day-to-day look like? As just doing some experiments, right? I think it's very important to do experiments because we're scientists. We're all scientists. So if you were talking about your career, why would you not develop a hypothesis and test it? And there's many ways to do that. My favorite way is just talking to people. But should they stay or should they go? Should they stay a year and then leave? Should they just finish? This is a very personal decision. And I don't think either decision is correct. It's all very situational.
It is,
and that's helpful at all.
Well, the truth is, I've seen every single permutation pretty much done of these scenarios, and they're individual choices. I've seen it work out. You leave after medical school, you do a year, you do 2 years, you finish residency, and then you leave after a couple of years. One of the things I think is helpful is if you are at this crossroads, to have a conversation with someone like yourself or other people to find out what options are. Because that's one of the biggest question marks is, well, what can I do if I don't do this? And it can be challenging to build a whole new career path, but it's totally doable. And what you talk about, there are options for everyone. You know, most people don't go to medical school and they create careers out of so many different things. And we've all done college, we've all done medical school. So we have those options. We're running out of time here. And I just wanted to briefly touch upon that transition from being a resident to an attending, and when that really can bring up some sort of fear and doubt shaking in the boots of that responsibility.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of emotions that come up when you finish, right? First, like, I think the first one is always happiness and relief. And then after that, you're like, oh boy, now I got to be the boss, right? And there's that like meme, you know, when you realize you're the attending and you look for the attendee you're attending, right? That comes with being early in your career. I also think there's just this like loss as well, because you're going from being a college student and you're trying to get into med school, and then you try to get into residency, and then you try to get a good job, and then you're like, well, what now? There's this sense of not working towards anything anymore, which really causes a lot of people crisis, because they're like, oh, well, then I just have to do this for 40 years or 50 years. Like, this is it. There's nothing else. And obviously that's not true, right? Because there's always something else that you can work towards. But I think that causes a lot of trouble. I think a lot of the burnout early in the career comes from that, and people don't talk about it enough. But I didn't have any real anxieties, honestly, going into being an attending. I did a lot of moonlighting, and I don't know if I was overconfident, but I didn't feel that. I just thought it was an extension of being a third year resident into the rest of my career, just better paid.
Well, I'm glad you didn't. And for those of you who are experiencing that, it's super common and it definitely can be worked with. It's usually not a reason to leave, but it's definitely something to address and get help for, because it's going to significantly cloud your experience. And we don't want anxiety to be in the driver's seat and drive you out of this career. We can put it in the passenger seat and then let you find out really what's true for you.
I mean, that's the point of imposter syndrome, right? It never really goes away. You just kind of deal with it, right? It's like, I see it as like that guy on your shoulder is, you know, just like, oh, hey there, and not listening to it anymore. But it's a big problem for people early in their career. Very big.
It is a big problem. So this has been really interesting. I'd love to keep going on, but are there any particular thoughts you'd like to leave the listeners with?
Well, I think the big one that you just touched on is that there are always options. There are endless, countless options, whether that be a hybrid of clinical and non-clinical work like I do myself, whether that be leaving medicine. And it's not just the top three, right? There are so many things you could do, because the MD and DO degree is the most marketable degree there is. There's millions of things you can do. So my big thing is, it's not should I stay or should I go always. It's how do I design a career that I'm happy with and what does that look like? And it takes, as you know, and as I do with my clients as well, it just takes a lot of work.
All right. And in some way, that could be a silver lining to have some doubts, because you might look at how can I diversify this work at the position? So I'm using different parts of my brain. I have more variety and challenges. And that could also make it more sustainable than maybe your peers who are just narrowly focused on clinical medicine. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it could be an interesting way to solve a problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the portfolio career.
Exactly right. You know, it's a hodgepodge of different things, but it makes you happy, then it works.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, the best way is to visit my website, andrewtisserdo.com, TisserDo.com. I'm on all social media as either my name or Talk the Number Two Me DOC, which is also the name of my podcast. But I'm very responsive to messages everywhere. So please reach out for anything.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And I look forward to having you back on the podcast down the road.
Thanks, Heather.
Okay. Take care. All right, guys. So you heard the message. There's a solution to any situation that you may be experiencing. Don't feel like this is going to be a deal breaker for you. If you're having doubts, just get some information, get some help, and create that path that works for you. Carpe that diem, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye for now.
For doctors, the story has changed. Visit financialresidency.com/locumstory to see if locum tenens assignment is right for you. It's here you'll find the unbiased answers you are after, so you can decide if locum tenens is your next chapter. What a fun episode. I really enjoyed chatting with Heather, as our philosophies on career is very similar. Additionally, sharing my story on here, I don't know if I've done it in such detail before, so I hope you all enjoyed that. That's all we have for today. If you would do me a favor after listening, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave me an honest rating and review, and tell two or three of your colleagues about the show. It really helps get the word out there. The other thing I'd like you to do after listening is visit my website at andrewtisserdo.com. That's Andrew, TisserDo.com. You can find a lot of resources there, as well as a free video series describing my path from burnout to career fulfillment, with career strategy tips embedded in each video. Till next time, everybody, keep talking. All opinions expressed by the guest in this episode are solely the guest's opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Andrew Tisser DO, TalkToMe.LLC, or any affiliates thereof. The guest's opinions are based upon information he or she considers reliable, but Andrew Tisser DO, TalkToMe.LLC, nor any affiliates thereof warrant its completeness or accuracy. The guest, Andrew Tisser DO, TalkToMe.LLC, or any affiliates thereof are not under any obligation to update or correct any information provided in this episode. The guest statements and opinions are subject to change without notice.